Welcome to the Underrepresented in Tech podcast, where we talk about issues in underrepresentation and have difficult conversations. Underrepresented in Tech is a free database with the goal of helping people find new opportunities in WordPress and tech. Hello, Sama.
Hello, Michelle. How are you?
I don't sound like myself. I have a little bit lower voice because anybody that knows me knows that after a WordCamp, I will get laryngitis just from the sheer amount of talking I do and because I'm talking over crowds all the time. So I'm feeling fine, but I sound a little raspy today.
So how was WordCamp Canada?
It was amazing. And one of the things, and I think I should mention this here for sure, one of the things that the organizers asked speakers to do was to do a land acknowledgement at the beginning of your talk.
Oh.
And so really acknowledging that, you know, the United States and Canada, all of North America, really, maybe not Mexico, but Canada and America, yeah. You know, we often say that it was discovered by, you know, by Christopher Columbus or whomever.
Yeah.
It wasn't discovered. It was here. People lived here. Like, to be discovered meant that it was an uncharted, nobody was there, right? It was stolen, right? So we were, the United States and Canada was colonized, and the lands were stolen from Indigenous peoples. And so what we did at the beginning of that was to acknowledge whose land we were sitting upon and who it belonged to first, so that we could pay homage to the different Indigenous tribes that had settled, that were there before colonization happened. And so that was something I was happy to do. And I discovered lots of tools online. Like, you could go to whose.land and find out whose land you're on. There's another site that I mentioned yesterday on Twitter. If anybody's interested, we can always share those out. But to look and see, because I know that I sit here in Hilton, New York, and that I am sitting on Seneca and Haudenosaunee, I'm sure I'm not saying that right, but land. And I am a very white woman who was born here, yes, but this land originally, less than 200 years ago, was owned by other people. So we need to, you know, make that acknowledgement. And I thought that that was really, really good for WordCamp Canada to ask us to pay attention to that. And the keynote was an Indigenous woman as well, which I thought was wonderful, so...
That's awesome. I love that. That's a love that. That's really nice. Yeah.
Yeah, me too. And yeah, it's one of those things where we don't often think about it because we just go about our day-to-day lives. But to remember that there is so much that has been taken from Indigenous peoples in North America, especially, and that, you know, we call it the Trail of Tears when they were put in these relocation camps and things like that, and their lands were stolen from them. And it wasn't just their lands, their people were slaughtered.
Yeah.
You know, in Canada and in the US, their children were taken from them and put in schools to try to assimilate them and adopt them into white families so that this would literally end the people's ability to continue to exist and to kill off, if you will, by assimilating their children into white culture and then marrying into white would eventually get rid of any semblance of indigenousness. I don't know what the right word is. Indigeneity in their bloodlines. And so it's just, maybe it's something we can dive into another time a little bit deeper.
Definitely. I love that.
It's not specifically tech, but it's nice that a tech conference like WordCamp Canada acknowledges those things.
Yeah. So. Yeah, absolutely.
So last week we teased out what we were going to talk about today. In spite of things that have happened over the weekend in our American politics, I still want to continue with this conversation because it's separate from all of what's going on in the news right now. And it actually has been downplayed a lot because of all that's going on in the news right now. And I'm not even going to acknowledge what's going on in the news right now. If you don't know, go Google it. But I found this on LinkedIn. Katharina Rivera posted a link and some argument, let's say, or discourse about The Economist, which is a magazine. And The Economist has a cover. We'll put a link to this, so anybody wants to see it, it'll be in the show notes. But The Economist put on a cover, "No Way to Run a Country," with a mobility device, a walker, that somebody would use to steady themselves as they walk. And the front of it, to the front of it, is a fixed president or seal of the President of the United States. So that intimates a lot of things. First of all, the person who posted it, Katerina Rivera, said, and we'll put a link to her commentary as well, not just the article, right? But she says, this week's Economist cover is ableist, disgraceful, and deeply offensive. It suggests that someone who uses a walker as a mobility aid is unfit to run the country. Disabled people are very capable of leadership, period. Not despite our disabilities, just exactly as we are. And using a mobility aid isn't something that's shameful or that makes someone unfit for leadership. And let's not forget, here in the States, that Franklin Delano Roosevelt, who was the president through World War II, was a disabled president and a wheelchair user. And that the impact of this cover extends beyond The Economist itself. So there's a lot more to her post. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I think that kind of really gives you the gist of it.
Yeah.
And I think it's true, right, that we sometimes assume that because somebody has outward appearance of a disability, that that means that their mind is also lacking, which could not be further from the truth. And before we dive into this in particular, I want to share another story that was just echoed again by another friend on Facebook the other day. But I have several friends who are deaf. I live in Rochester, New York, which is the second largest population of deaf people in North America, in the United States especially, second only to Gallaudet University and where that is, because we have the National Technical Institute for the Deaf here in Rochester. So I have lots of deaf friends. So my deaf friend put, you know, when you get an airline ticket, you can put if you need extra assistance because you can't hear the announcements, right? So maybe there's another way. Now everything's on your phone, but back then that wasn't. They tried to put, the airport tried to put her in a wheelchair to help her get from gate to gate. She's deaf. She is very athletic. She's a golf player. She is one of the most athletic women I know. And they tried to put her in a wheelchair because her ears don't work. So that, just to give you an idea of how bad it can actually get.
Yeah.
Right? But what are your thoughts on this cover and, you know, what Katerina was saying about it?
First, it's absolutely unacceptable to shame or to make fun of people with disabilities. I believe every individual, regardless of their physical or mental abilities, deserve respect and dignity. And dismissing or mocking someone's abilities based on their disability is not only hurtful, but it really can lead to harmful stereotype and stigmas. I found it very ridiculous. I did a little bit research, and I want to say around the world, there's 1.3 billion people experience significant disability. That's 16%, which is 1 to 6 of all of us as a human being around the world. Why only in the States, according to the Center of Disease and Control Prevention, CDC, there's 61 million. So 26% of the population, and 1 to 4 Americans has a disability. I found it crazy. I don't know what the Economist trying to do. Maybe they want to track some viewers or readers or raise their sellings. But I found it very crazy to mocking and making fun of disabled people and saying that you cannot do anything. And I found it entirely inappropriate to assert that person with disability cannot aspire to become a leadership or president or hold any position of management or leadership. The quality of becoming a leadership, such as vision, determination, empathy, and the ability to inspire and lead others, it's not related if you can lead a walker or don't. So I found it very crazy they mention it. And I think, I don't know, usually I read some of their articles and I find them nice and educational. They talk a lot about what's happening in the world. But this one, I don't know, I missed it. And when he shared it with me, I was so shocked. Like, I know maybe they are not supporting Biden or so they're supporting Trump or whatever who they are. But this is not okay. It's like kind of below the belt statement. Do you just hurt the feeling of a lot of people? And I was reading about, I don't know, of the disability right. They made a statement on the Economist ableist cover. And I'm really sad because you just there's 1 to 4 from the American has disability, and you just insulted the whole 61 million people just like that by just posting this. And you're not going to attract attention for what you want to say, because at the end you just cause some crazy chaos online.
And I do understand that they are actually trying to say that geriatric people, right, people older, are unfit to lead. But that's not the symbolism that they used. They didn't use a symbol of geriatric. I know so many young people who use walkers, who use canes, who use wheelchairs, who are blind and use guide dogs and the white canes and all the things that have to go with you when you're a disabled person. And I think it was absolutely shameful what they did. Now, to turn that around to the tech community, so that we're applying this in tech. I mean, you and me, for the most part, it's WordPress that we are involved with as far as tech. And I haven't spoken at many tech conferences outside of the WordPress arena. Not all WordCamps, but outside of WordPress, right? And I will say that me, with my scooter, my wheelchair, if you will, I have not experienced that within the WordPress community. I think people do see me as a leader in the WordPress community, especially around things like underrepresented statuses, helping people find jobs, the things that I do, the things that I love to do in WordPress, and that I lead Post Status, that I'm the director of community engagement over at Stellar WP. Not once has anybody said she's at least not to my face, or that I've heard about, because her legs don't work as well as ours, she should not be fit to do that, right? So nobody has ever done that. Have I not been able to gain access to physical spaces? Yes. There have been parties that when somebody got there, didn't realize, because it said it was accessible, that it wasn't truly accessible. So for example, there was a party in Bangkok for WordCamp Asia, and the company that hired this boat to do this party, and I'm not even going to out them because they felt so terrible. The boat said it was accessible, and when this person talked to them, they said, yes, no problem. But when they went out to check it out, there were 2 steps up onto the boat and 2 steps down into the boat. You cannot do that with a wheelchair.
No,
You cannot do that
no.
with a scooter. Even if I was, even I can walk a little bit, right? But I have to be able to hold on to railings. I have to be able to take a breath, all of those things. So getting on and off of a rocking boat that didn't have a gangplank that I could just walk onto was not going to be possible for me. And the person who had set this up and invited me actually called me and said, I am so sorry. There's nothing I can do at this point. And I said, don't worry about it. I'll go out to dinner with friends. I'm not upset because you did everything you possibly could. You didn't say, well, we picked a spot. Michelle can't come. Don't anybody tell her. I mean, it wasn't like that, right? There was another one that was like on the roof of someplace, and the elevator only went to the floor below it, and then you had to take a staircase to the next one. They did not know that either, right? So that I'm not upset. I'm upset with places that don't make spaces accessible, of course, but not with somebody who was told they could invite me because I would be able to enjoy the space. So it's not that anybody ever wanted to try to deny me access that I'm aware of, and I will say that. I always assume if I am working with somebody to make someplace more accessible for myself, it's not just for myself, it's also for everybody else who may have a disability, especially physical disability, and need to have access to space. I'm just the person who's very loud about it that they know is open to ask questions. So, for example, we both know I wrote that article a few years ago, 5 days without a shower. I mentioned it every once in a while, and how inaccessible that space was. That was not designed to keep me out. The organizers, were not looking at it with the same lens that I would have to look at it with. They didn't think about the fact that the front doors didn't have paddles or any motorized entranceway, so somebody would have to open a door for me. They knew that there were disability accessible hotel rooms. They didn't know how inaccessible those accessible hotel rooms really were. So I'm not faulting them, but as a result of my willingness to be vulnerable, to talk about, only being able to sponge bathe for 5 days, right? All of those things. We've seen WordPress become much more accommodating. So there's a part of the handbook for WordCamp organizers now talks about physical accessibility. WordCamp organizers know that they can ask me. So they ask me questions. How wide is the wheelchair? I mean, sometimes there are things that can be Googled, which is fine. I still don't mind answering them because I love seeing that there's a real interest in making sure that if it's accessible for Michelle, it's accessible for other people as well. And ever since that article, every place I've ever spoken has made sure that either the room I was in, everybody was on one level, or there is a ramp for me to be able to get to the stage. I've never had to present in front of the stage for lack of access to the stage. So I love that our community has become so much more aware of disabilities. I think I've had some part to play in that. I'm sure I'm not the only person, though, of course. But I've been a very loud squeaky wheel, if you will. And so I don't think you'll ever see in anybody's WordPress blog, any company's WordPress blog, anything that looks like what The Economist has done here.
Definitely. I totally agree with you. And I'm really happy the WordPress community is, we're becoming more respectful, more diverse, more inclusive, more looking at those things. And I know even starting from my side, the booth designed even to make it accessible. So people even not only on the stage, not reaching out for the talks, only also on the booth, if you want to visit the booth, to be accessible for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I found it still crazy, The Economist. Like, I didn't see anything from them online to say like, hey, sorry, we didn't mean it or nothing. They just let it be. And at the same time, I don't know what they want from this article to share a specific message, because at the end, maybe I don't want to dive in politics. We don't like to talk about politics. We're not going to talk about Joe Biden performance or other than that. No, the thing is they use very wrong example to point out he's not well fit to become president. And also at the same time, I don't like that he's getting old, that we should get rid of him. Not at all. There's a lot of aged, very capable people to lead countries, to lead companies. It's not mean that you're old, that you're expired, we should remove you. And that that is something unacceptable. I wish they will make statements, even tweet, or I don't know. I'm waiting. I'm literally looking at them online. Just do something, please. Because
retract it. Say you're wrong. Yeah,
because honestly, I'm giving them until the end of this week. If they're not going to do that, honestly, I'm not going to read any article for them. And I just follow them online because I don't find them worth following after what they did. So, yeah.
I agree. Absolutely. So I guess the bottom line is think about your messaging. Think about how you are viewing people with disabilities, and think about the fact that, like, everything we've said here today, like, my brain works just fine. Like, I can write around circles. I can speak circles around so many people. I can lead a team. And just because I walk with a cane in my home and use a mobility device outside of my home does not decrease my value. I will not be a good softball player. Do not put me on your softball team. Right? Like, there are things. I recognize my limitations. Nobody's asking me to be on their softball team. And that's because you recognize somebody's abilities to be able to contribute that way, of course. But as far as anything that has to do with abilities with your brain, abilities with your thoughts, and with your ability to lead, it has nothing to do with whether or not you walk well.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah.
Yeah. So I also want to just, as we transition, let's transition to, like, I want to do a little bit of a recap from last week, too, if we can. Yeah. So last week we talked about Shahjahan Jewell's open letter to WordCamp Europe 2025 about the fact that it's falling over the Muslim holiday Eid. And I can't say it properly, so I'm not going to try to, you can say it for me.
Eid al-Adha. Maybe we should start some Arabic classes, a little bit, some, like, you know.
Yes, I should, because I don't want to ever you know, just mangle other people's languages. So I'm glad that you're here to pronounce it properly for me. But we don't always get a lot of feedback on our weekly broadcasts, right? So I think sometimes I'll hear from people say, wow, that was a really good talk. You really, you know, people say, oh, everything you talk about, I listened to it, I learned so much. But specifically last week, and I think it was because it was specifically about WordCamp, there's a lot of conversations happening. You've seen some on Twitter. I've seen some, I don't know why I said it that way. Twitter. I post those stories also on my personal Facebook and my personal LinkedIn pages. And the one on Facebook has 36 comments now, and everybody being very supportive. Nobody has said anything negative about it, about the topic, except to be supportive of our Muslim community and respecting the holiday there. So I just wanted to say that it's really nice to know that the conversations that we have here really do make people start to think and think about being better and more inclusive overall. So yeah, that makes me happy. What are your thoughts?
Me, I'm really happy about it because, like, as we said, we're not going to talk about religion and politics, but look to what we are talking about. And it's I'm really happy that people start feeling so comfortable to speak up, yeah, or also to speak about it. And at the end, as we mentioned, we are here just giving advice. It's like how we see it from our corner, or how we see it overall, mm-hmm, how we see it. I also get some nice DMs and some nice likes and tweets and some DM and tweets, people saying that, yeah, it's really, I'm really happy that you open up. Yes, I feel more glad that someone spoke about this, because I always felt weird when if I were going to speak about religion, because I think, if I'm not mistaken, code of conduct or in the WordCamps we cannot talk about, because it's very edgy also place to talk if you can talk about religion, or how are you going to approach it. And I'm really happy that in 2026, maybe that will be better planning. And also for WordCamp Asia, I know there was a statement that they will keep it in mind for WordCamp Asia for 2026 to 2027. And that's made me really happy that you and I were talking about it and someone listened, someone here. Yes, that's what we're going, yeah, to do. So, yeah, it was definitely a positive impact. And yeah, I'm just waiting for our talk today about politics. What's going to be the replies?
Well, I think it's important to say that when we have addressed religion and politics, yeah, it's not to proselytize for a particular religion, and it's not to proselytize against any religion, and the same for politics, right? I mean, if you follow me anywhere, you know where I fall politically, but I don't bring that in here. Mm-hmm. I just talk about what's happening with covers and how people are being addressed. So while we do bring politics into it, we are not having political conversations. Yeah. We are simply addressing how people who are underrepresented are dealing within those realms, yeah, right? So we respect our religion, we respect politics, those kinds of things. It doesn't mean we don't have our own opinions. Yeah. We just don't bring those opinions into the show.
Yeah.
But follow us on Twitter if you want to see a little more.
Me, I love this. This is my two topics I love to talk about all of the time: religion and politics. I love to discuss politics all of the time. So, you know, it's a little bit makes me happy, but a little bit also a little bit torture. Like, can I say my opinion? No, we can't. We can't. We just say it in our social media. Do whatever we want. Yeah,
that's great. That's right. And to each other,
yeah,
off camera.
Off camera. Of
course, we're not recording. So. Oh, it's hard to believe that anybody who would be this supportive of underrepresented communities would fall to the far right. We'll just leave it at that. Anyway, we do have another topic. I love that we're thinking ahead for our topics, because I love our topic for next week.
Yeah.
Our topic for next week, we're going to talk about, and I hope I don't mispronounce these things, so, but we're going to talk about hijab, niqab. We're going to talk about burqa.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, and that's, you know, all within certain religion and culture. And we're also going to talk about how wigs and tichel, I think I said that right, also apply within the Jewish communities and the Orthodox Jewish communities. Yeah. And how so many places right now are either banning them or outlawing them, and have been for a few years now, because they see those head coverings as oppressive to women, but we want to talk about how within certain communities and cultures, it's not an oppression. It's an expression of self. And so we're going to dig into that a little bit next week. So I need to do a little more research because I've never been part of any of those communities. And we're going to see, maybe we can get somebody to come join the show. We'll see. Yes. To talk about some of these things as well. So until then, we'll see everybody next week. Just be respectful of each other. Love each other. I love this community because we can be that way. But sometimes it's not as pretty. And so we need to make sure that we are always respectful of each other. Yes. And that's what we're here for, right, Samar?
Yes, definitely. We make it prettier. We just like making it prettier. We just like make over for it.
That's right. Anyway, we'll see everybody next week. Thanks.
Bye, everyone. See you.
If you're interested in using our database, joining us as a guest for an episode, or just want to say hi, go to underrepresentedintech.com. See you next week.